Hello, everybody, friends and foes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, thanks for tuning in here, boys and girls. Haven't been with you for a while here, but we're back on our regular schedule again on Wednesday night and also the extravaganza on Sunday. And boy, we got a lot of news to give you for this upcoming weekend here. I tell you, it's mind-blowing. Let's get first and foremost here and start on off with the Detroit Lions, which their season has officially ended, but not without Jeff Garrett. Jeff Garrett, boy, I'm thinking of wrestling. Jared Goff, the Lions quarterback here, made it fun to be a fan again and the final game of the season as they beat the Green Bay Packers by a final score of 37-30 in the contest that saw the Packers play their starters for the first half, and after that, it was every man for himself. Dan Campbell poured in everything into the kitchen sink and threw in the NFC North champs a wallop here. Detroit scored on one trick play with a wide receiver, Tom Kennedy, throwing a 75-yard touchdown pass to fellow wide receiver, Caleb Raymond. And then the Lions did it again with another touchdown, courtesy of the flea flicker off a reverse to tight end Brock Wright. Exciting, isn't it, boys and girls? Yes, if you watched the game from beginning to end, it was all kind of stunts in there. Was the Lions defense pretty good? Yes, for the pending of what they got to deal with the first half versus the second half. Because the first half, Green Bay Packers was staying with the Lions stride for stride. But the Lions was hanging in there tough there. The Lions forced three second-half turnovers and the final one with an interception by Tracy Walker, who had won the greatest games that I've seen in a long time out of a cornerback for the Detroit Lions. I tell you, it set up the victory format for the Detroit Lions, and Coach Dan Campbell sent his backup quarterback in there, Tim Ball, who served as a Green Bay number two quarterback in 2020. Ahead of the first-round rookie, Jordan Love there. Boy, oh boy, it was a screaming, nice little game that basically, boys and girls, you haven't seen in a very long time in the city of Detroit. But you did. It was a kind of afternoon for the fans that could be finally raucous to walk out of a doggone building and say, boy, we did good. And he did it over the Green Bay Packers, which, by the way, boys and girls, again, I will repeat, their starting lineup was on the bench after the second half here. But, made no difference. The Lions played a performance game from beginning to end. And they stayed competitive, and they played a game that basically, regardless of who Green Bay threw in there, they were competitive with them. That was even in the first half there, because I saw some rock and sock'em stuff there that I haven't seen in a very long time. But they, again, they came in there saying, I got nothing to lose. And if they play that way next year, and they bring back a lot of the individuals who were very instrumental in getting them and looking like a team that give a damn, the Detroit Lions would be pretty doggone good indeed. I would say so myself. Really. Now, there's really not anything you can say, personally, and speaking with the Lions, to do. I said it from the beginning, the offense stink. And then on the eighth week, or after the eighth week, that's when Dan Campbell started calling the plays. I said it. And things improved. Things improved indeed. They won three games. They tied up one. And so that second half wasn't all that bad. But there are some things that wasn't all that good either. There was some rumbling in the Detroit coaching staff there. As we find out on the last game of the season, or quarter toward that particular week there, I had very concerns. And I have had concerns all all season long. The offense really, and the play calling they were dealing with was just absurd. The Lions had a run, had a line finally that they can control a running back and give a running back an opportunity to run the ball. And they did a very yeoman's job this year from years past. Williams, Swift, Raymond, you name them. Whoever they threw back there, they did a yeoman's job in picking up yards that basically, if they kept the good old feeling going, and which they did after the play calling change with Dan Campbell, they probably would have been a lot more competitive team in the first half. But need I say more? What's done is done. Lions are 3-13-1. That's what they finished with. 3 games and 6 games they won. And you hold up the other two, they tied one of those two. Not saying it's a good thing, but the moral of the story is Dan Campbell had the balls enough to look at attention to detail. He knew his offense stink, and he did something about it. He took charge of it. And when he did that, he ruffled some feathers. As we find out in the latter portion of the season, he had a riff with Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn was only taking care of the running backs, and that was it. Dan Campbell took over the echelon of the offense and how the plays were being called. And he took responsibility for it. And yet the record shows that right now he was more effective in dealing with the offense than Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn will not be back with the Detroit Lions in year 2022. Lynn has been marginalized to the Lions coaching staff for several weeks now, and that's what we're finding out, especially from the general manager as well as Dan Campbell, who Dan Campbell did go to the general manager, as we found out on Monday, with the particular problem or concern that he was very not happy with how the coaches were dealing with or being dealt with their players. That they spent so much time in getting and thought they would be yeoman players. I never, and you heard this broadcaster say, didn't have no problem with the players. I had problems with the coaching. And maybe that ruffle the feather on the offensive side started some rumblings on the defensive side because things did get better. It did get better. The play calling duties for several weeks ago, it's gotten better. Campbell even revealed that to himself as the offensive coordinator in recent press conferences. And I know that ruffled Anthony Lynn's feather because at that point in time, and we, you know, as the crap hit the fan, Anthony Lynn was no longer in charge of the offense. Lynn was just not a good fit for the Lions and with Campbell, but it just wasn't happening. I'm quite sure Lynn will get hooked up with another team that maybe would deal with his philosophy on how to run offense there. But of course, he had Herbert last year before he got fired from the Chargers. Look at Herbert this year and how competitive he has been. Push somebody's buttons and the right buttons, you'll get results. In the meanwhile, a lot of firing has been going on in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins appear to make their move more shocking. They got rid of Brian Flores. What did he do? He won games for the Miami Dolphins. He had an over 500 record. And that wasn't good enough for the Miami Dolphins because they thought they were going to make a way for Jim Harbaugh to come down there. And he might still do that, boys and girls. Stephen Ross said, he announced that, no, he will not pursue Jim Harbaugh. I didn't say that Jim Harbaugh might pursue the Miami Dolphins and their general manager. And Ross would approve of it if that's what Harbaugh would want to do. Of course, there's positions in Chicago and other places as Harbaugh's name from the University of Michigan has come up on several occasions with some pro teams. And it's no secret, Harbaugh has been talking to him. In the meanwhile, Chicago Bears, I just mentioned them, Matt Nagy, his era is over. And also general manager Ryan Pace, he's gone in the street too. Minnesota Vikings, they got rid of a franchise third winningest coach in 8 seasons with Mike Zimmer hitting the dog on bricks there. And also they made it clear that Rick Spielman was not even properly welcome either there as they fired the general manager at his post. The Giants just yesterday here on Tuesday, they fired Joe Judge after 2 disastrous seasons with the New York Giants. They went 10-23. Many people thought that they would do better. But let me tell you, the general manager stunk. Of course, he resigned before all this started up there. So I'm quite sure the Giants are going to have to do something really, really, really personal indeed. Ah, but wow. With the addition of Monday Night Football there, the 2021 playoffs will be in effect. Super Wild Card Weekend will now come to us with 2 wild card games on Saturday. Yes, 3 on Sunday, and 1 on Monday night. Let me give you the schedule. On Saturday, on the 15th, the AFC, 4:30, Las Vegas at Cincinnati. That's on NBC. That night, AFC at 8:15, New England at Buffalo in the cold. That's going to be on CBS and Paramount Plus. On Sunday, the NFC, 3 games, boys and girls, 3 games. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, that's on Fox. NFC, San Francisco at Dallas at 4:30, CBS and Nickelodeon. Yes, boys and girls, I said it, Nickelodeon and Amazon Prime Video, along with Paramount Plus. But the Nickelodeon is a good part there because you get to see the slime on the touchdowns and stuff there. So, hey, if you don't have nothing else to do, hey, check out that broadcast. I'm quite sure Nate Burleson will be part of that. And later on that night, the AFC at 8:15, Pittsburgh at, yes, Kansas City on NBC TV. Monday night, yes, the NFC at 8:15, Arizona at Los Angeles. That's going to be on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, ESPN+, ESPN Deportes. The divisional playoff schedule will be announced after all that's over there. And by the way, the AFC Players of the Week are Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill, the Raiders defensive end Max Crosby, and the Raiders kicker Daniel Carson, named the AFC Players of the Week for Week 18. The NFC Players is Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, the Lions safety Tracy Walker, and the 49ers kicker Robbie Gould. They are the NFC Players of the Week for Week 18. Okay. The Detroit Pistons lose another one, and they lost bad last night. They look pitiful. And I'm going to forget about the game because it looked pitiful. But I will say this, in the last 7 games of the Detroit Pistons are 4-3. Does that mean anything to you? We'll see what goes on down the road a piece there. In the meanwhile, from the Denver Nuggets, they're moving on. They got Bobo, got rid of him, and they sent him, the former Oregon State Duck, to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for Rodney Magruder and a future second-round draft pick there. According to people in the know, and that is also official, Bo was initially drafted by the Miami Heat, the 44th overall pick in 2019. He was traded to Denver 1 day later for some cash and a future second-round draft pick. He signed a 2-way deal with Denver and appeared in 7 games. As a 20-year-old rookie, he played 12.4 minutes per night, scored 5.7 points, 2.7 rebounds, and an eye-popping 44.4% mark from the three-point line. Anybody thinking about, yep, that's Casey. He wants that three-point shooter. Let's see how much he'd be able to contribute for Detroit Pistons down the road a piece, if he's able to contribute. I still say Luke Garza, okay, is a guy who you're underutilizing right now. And there, I said it. Detroit Red Wings have has added another Hall of Fame player to the front office. They announced on Tuesday that Nicholas Lindstrom joined the front office as the new vice president of hockey operations, and he will have input in all aspects of the hockey team as it moves forward. He joins former Detroit teammate and fellow Hall of Famer Steve Yzerman in the front office of the Detroit Red Wings, and course, the Red Wings general manager, he started off in 2019 and 2020, and we look at ourselves in the year 2022, I'm going to say it. Red Wings are looking halfway decent. Now, they're going through some bangs and wangs right now there, but we'll hopefully on this three-game tour from the West Coast, they can come back to some home cooking and really play some hockey and get some wins there. Because they need them, and they need them bad. They ain't look too bad, but they didn't look good either. The World Wrestling Entertainment Federation is being sued Tuesday by a smaller rival, accusing them of violating the federal antitrust law and monopolizing the professional wrestling market there. The MLW Media LLC accused the WWE and its chief executive big man, Vince McMahon, of threatening content partnering from doing business with the MLW to help protect its 85% interest of the U.S. market of professional record wrestling in the broadcast rights there. The WWE got a lot of ump there when it comes down to broadcasting the not only in the United States, but around the world. But I think a company called the AEW is catching up with them. The McMahon neck New York-based plaintiff, okay, they said that the WWE interfered in 2021 causes, which basically the Vice TV show had to end the talk on the air, because the content led to a 40% drop in ticket sales after Fox Corp. Tubi streamed the service, abandoning the license the night before it was all publicly supposed to be announced. Now, if you don't know, excuse me, clear my throat here. If you don't know, Fox do own Tubi, which Tubi has a following with the station, The Vice, which the WWE has a very big working relationship with, yes, Fox. So we'll see how that goes down the road a piece. The NLW also accused of Stamford, Connecticut-based WWE of inducing the MLW wrestlers to break executive contracts and airing the MLW footage without permission to combat a 5-year decline in its popularity in its own programming. Yes, the WWE has been declining the last 5 years. So there. Let me take a swallow of water here as I talk. Boy, that was good. Speaking of high schools here and the environment that we're in, the 2021-22 girls basketball is in its sixth week, and it's just picking up there. As for the 2021-22 boys basketball season in the MHL and the MHSAA, yep, it's the fifth week. But now the teams, big, small, north, south, and all points in between, will still have an early stage of creating the story of their season, of course, there, of goodies, because marches will be quickly upon us. In February, will too, with the playoffs and all the other good stuff there. Of course, you Can't forget that swimming and diving in the Upper Peninsula with the boys and the girls. And boys skiing, girls skiing, boys bowling, and girls competitive cheer. Get out there and support those kids. If you got nothing else to do, please get out there. They could be doing a whole lot of things they got no business doing, but you know what? They pick sports. If you can, get out there and support them. Please do that. Please do that indeed, and be safe when you do it. Finally, the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen catcher, Jean Ramirez, he died, and the team had announced that Tuesday. He was 28 years old. The Rays announced news on Twitter. He quotes from Kevin Nash, the manager and of the ball club, the Tampa Bay Rays, and President Eric Nieder. They gave a company a post to the, not the conditions, but the acknowledgement of the death of the player Ramirez there. The Rays did not announce Ramirez's cause of death. Nieder didn't say it was an unexpected and a difficult loss there. That's what the team president said. On that, we're ending this edition of Butcher on Sports. You know, I didn't talk about any colleges there, but you know what? They're canceling each other left and right. University of Michigan, I think Michigan State is doing their thing there, and they're staying on the up and up there. University of Detroit, 5-7, but they're getting hot as a firecracker. They have not lost any games in the Horizon League, so they're there. And Central Michigan, Western, Eastern, and some other teams in the state of Michigan, they ain't doing too bad either. Wayne State is enjoying their brand new home. However, their season is not that good. Not that good. Now, I will end the show here. And I will say this and say this right now and be sincere about it here. They're changing everything around when it comes down to the rules and regulation of, yes, the COVID-19 there. Please be vigilant. Do what you can do to keep yourself safe. Wear your masks. They say double masks. Double them up. Do whatever you got to do. Get your vaccinations. Get your boosters. Please, everybody do what they can do and try to be kind and nice and be safe with one another, please, so we can end this doggone thing, if it ever ends, okay? And on that there, Butcher on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Production. Check me out on Facebook, always on Facebook. And, yes, you can check me out on the homepage of Butcher on Sports at Podomatic.com. Just type in SimpleButchToO.podomatic.com and you get that. And also go to the Game Sports Show website and goodies bag there. As we moved on to News Talk 1400 on Monday night, same place, same avenue, same sports. We wasn't on this Monday, but hopefully we'll be on this upcoming Monday, okay? And we'll do it, go from that point on there. Hey, the Game Sports Show, .popping.com. You can also catch up with Butch on Sports and all the other Game Sports Show shows and avenues that keep you abreast of what's going on in the top events of sports of the day. Say, I am Simply Butch. I'm out of here, okay? And check you out on Sunday on with a lot of football and a lot of other stuff hopefully going on there. We haven't mentioned Novak Djokovic for his dealings for the Australian Open because I don't know. Hey, talk to you all later, okay? Check me out on Sunday on Butcher on Sports.